Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 18th through the 20th, 2018, at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by Enfilade. Enfilade is a flagship historical wargaming convention for the Northwest Historical Miniature Gaming Society. Enfilade is held annually over Memorial Day weekend at the Red Lion Inn in Olympia, Washington. Enjoy the largest historical miniature gaming convention west of the Mississippi at Enfilade. Visit www.nhmgscitadel.com for more information. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the TSR Podcast Network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 198. That's right, 198. We're talking about our gaming year in review. So before I go any further, I want to, of course, welcome all of you new and longtime listeners alike. And I want to remind you, you're not going to remember everything we talk about, but don't worry. That's okay. We got you covered. Show notes, that's where it's at. Go to wargamingrecon.com/WR198. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR198. You'll find links to things we talk about. You'll find beautifully written show notes because of our show notes scribe, Joshua Shoebridge, who takes the time to make them look pretty for you all to enjoy no matter when you come to this episode. Because we know that you like to listen while you're painting minis or you're driving to and from work, or maybe just maybe you're the odd gamer who goes to the gym. No, there's not many of you, but you might be one of them. So if you are, you might be there, you might be listening, and you're not going to be at a computer going click, clack, clack. Nobody does that, right? Don't worry. So for this episode, I am joined by the one and only Mr. Alex Kostopoulos. Alex, how are you?
Good. How's it going?
Going pretty good. I am excited, as always, but this is an unusual episode for us because we're recording together and in person.
And in person. And on location in a restaurant.
Olivio's in Nord, Massachusetts. Wonderful food. We are very grateful that they are allowing us to be here in the final hour of operations.
That's right.
To do the recording. So if you're in the area, you should check them out and head on over, and we will have a link to them in our show notes. So we're going to be talking about our gaming year in review, right? But why don't we start off with more recent gaming? So what have you been up to lately?
Sure. Before we do that, I just got to say, our recording, the past two recordings that I've been on, were really putting a challenge to the audio editing. First one was the bad Wi-Fi, and this one we're doing on location in a restaurant. So, good luck. Good luck on the audio editing, and I apologize again in advance. So, gaming as of recently. This is going to be very short, because the last time I was on, we talked about Kings of War, and that really has been the bulk of what I've been playing. That's pretty much the only thing I've been messing around with. I'm working on my elves, and other than that, there hasn't been too much. I played a couple of board games, and I don't think that it's anything too exciting. It was I played Pandemic, which I've actually played with you, John.
You have played with me.
John's fiddling with dials here. Got to get a little more and less gain. So I think actually the first time we played Pandemic was my first time playing it ever, even though that game has been around the block for a long time. And you showed me the ropes to that game, and then I paid it forward and played that with a bunch of people who had never played it either. So it was cool to do. It's cool to teach.
So when you played it, did you play original, or did you play revised, or did you do like Pandemic Legacy?
It wasn't Pandemic Legacy. I think it was the revised version.
Okay.
It was still, yeah, it's because I have a newer copy, so that must be the revised version. It was good, and the funny thing was, one of my friends, he's a son who's, he's like 10, and he already knew everything. I mean, that kid's played the game like 20 times. none of the adults had. So I was teaching that, but it's fun. It's funny when a 10-year-old has a good grasp of the rules, but is still a 10-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the impatience of a 10-year-old sometimes can surface.
Yes.
So it was funny. It was good. He had all the right moves, too. Unfortunately, in the end, we were overtaken by one too many outbreaks.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
Love a good outbreak.
Yep. I'm no longer undefeated in that game, by the way.
You're a one win. Oh, man. No, that's a good game, though.
Yeah, it's a good game. You know, and again, a lot of my wargaming has been Kings of War, solo-oriented, just really trying to understand the rules and get them down so that when we actually play, probably in the new year, will be a little polished and it won't be, you know, dragging through the rules.
Polished isn't usually a word that people associate with any of us.
No, that's true, but, you know, I said a little more polished.
You did say a little more.
You can go from 0 to 1.
That's true, or 0 to, like, 0.25.
Yeah, right.
That isn't
incrementally and fractionally.
Yeah, that's improvement. That's for sure. It's not stationary by any stretch of that.
Listen, you gotta have a moving target. That's all.
So you can hit it with your bow.
Yep. Yeah. Well, you know.
That's some pretty good gaming, though. More than I would have expected.
Yeah, it hasn't been too bad, I guess.
I mean, it's a busy time of year.
It is a busy, busy time of year. It's tough. Holidays were good.
Yeah.
Holidays were real good.
No gaming though.
Castle Panic, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
My daughter, she loves that game.
Okay.
I got it knowing that it was a good kid game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I feel like I brought this up either on the podcast like 20 times. But I really, really believe cooperative games for kids. It makes it so that...
Thank you.
All right on.
Looks good. We got some delicious looking appetizers here.
Apps delivered. Cooperative gaming for kids is really the way to go. You win together, you lose together, and you erase the I win, you win. Not in my case, but if you have siblings, I hear that that is quite a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always good to have that everyone wins together or everyone suffers defeat together.
Well, it's helpful, too, if you're playing with people who are like Francis and they're just going to table flip at any moment.
Yeah, right. Some kids, you know, haven't learned how to lose gracefully. It's a thing.
A lot of adults don't know how to lose gracefully.
A lot of adults. I exhibit that sometimes too.
You shouldn't be able to do that in this game.
With our,
it makes me so mad, but I like it, but I hate it.
With our travel battle, I didn't win gracefully either.
I mean, I know I said it while we played it, but I swear I was doing stuff wrong, but even so.
Yes, well.
Well, we both were. It's a learning experience.
Well, I was doing things wrong because you were telling me the wrong stuff.
That would probably be true. I will not deny that.
I've never made a wrong move in my life.
Of course not.
Nope.
I got to play a very interesting game over the holiday.
What'd you play?
So I played the game of how quickly and safely can I get from point A to point B?
That sounds like a really, really good game.
It is.
Elaborate.
So like you have to make sure that you choose an appropriate route that is free of traffic, of obstacles, of things that might cause people to slow down, like deer crossings or police presences, maybe a speed trap.
Sure.
And you want to make sure you get that so you get the best time and best points. So you got to get the good combination. But if it's a rough ride, obviously they deduct points and if you were to hit anything
or
whatever.
Yep.
So you lose points for that. So I did pretty well.
Now, what's the distance that you travel in this game?
It varies for each scenario.
Sure. Oh, okay. It's scenario based.
It is. Mm-hmm. And unlike like Pandemic Legacy, for example, there's infinite replayability.
That's really cool.
Because, I mean, Pandemic Legacy, you play it once, you go through one season of it.
Yeah, sure.
And you don't, I mean, it's very well done, but you're what?
There's a season two now.
There is.
But I understand this game.
So you buy season two and then you're done.
Yeah, and then you're done.
But this one, you get to play over and over.
Infinite scenarios.
Really?
Wow.
You could play it every single day of your life.
Is the game expensive?
No, not terribly.
No? Just the price of gas?
Just the price of gas. Gas and automobile.
Yeah.
You hop in, it feels so real.
Yeah. I've also heard that you're winning at the game of life these days as well.
One would seem to think so.
That's good.
You don't want to be losing that.
No, I think too often we're all losing that.
It feels that way sometimes. So a lot of the gaming I've been doing actually is stuff for the show. And I say that every single time, but it's true. So got this awesome painting handle from Citadel. And I'm never want to use the word awesome and Citadel or Games Workshop in one sentence, but it is really good. And so listeners won't know, but I timed that so that Alex would have food in his mouth.
Yeah. So you shouldn't use the term awesome and painting handle together.
So I did this video review, and people are watching it, which I think is interesting.
I think that's interesting as well.
But I tell you, I'm really in love with this painting handle. I thought, like, okay, it's Citadel, and it's a painting handle. So when I first saw it online, Andy Hobday from Warlord Games had shared it. He's like, oh, look. And he was all excited, and he was going to buy, like, 4 million of them or whatever. And at first I was like, oh, it's GW. Like, that's not going to be good, right? Because it's GW. Are they going to overcharge her? Are they going to undeliver on what it is? Or are they going to be like, we're going to make you pay real dollar amount to be equivalent to what its value is in our game world? And then I looked at what the price was. It was £5. I was like, so what is that in real money? No offense to anyone in England. But like, what is that in my money? Because my money is real. It's real to me. Like, I can't spend British pounds in Astoria. They'd look at me and be like, what are you doing with that fancy looking money? And then I'd have to pretend I was British and do a terrible accent. And it would just go downhill from there. So, and like, American money was $8. I mean, $8 is pretty cheap for anything from GW. I don't care what it is. Like, they charge more for the dice. Mm. They charge more for a paintbrush than they charge. They charge more for glue.
Well, they seem to be charging more for the useful things. And, you know, it's interesting. My heartburn medicine comes in a bottle.
Yeah.
And I use that as a painting handle when I used it as a painting. Currently, I'm painting things out of my own hand, which is a weird thing that I've developed.
And that's why you need a painting handle, because...
No, I don't.
You don't want to smudge
My heartburn medicine is $7.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
Well, I mean, drugs seem to be cheap in this country.
Yeah, well, you know,
for whatever reason.
It's the insurance and all that.
So. Yeah. Socialized medicine, people. Mm-hmm. So the handle's great because, like, online it looked, and it looks huge, and then it came in mail, and I opened it, and I was like, this is the smallest box ever. I was really disappointed. So I'm looking, I'm like, this stupid little thing, it's smaller than like anything, really. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be bad. I'm going to be really annoyed by this. And then I opened it, and I was like, oh, well, actually. And I'm holding it. It feels nice in your hand. It's dirty, durable, has a little bit of heft to it. It's not just this lightweight thing that's going to tip over. And even though it's smaller, it's actually, it has some weight to it. So, like, you feel, hold it, and you can tell you're holding on to something. It's not just like, oh, you just have like this piece of crap in your hand. So you get this thing, and what I really like about it, there's a few things I really like about it. One of the things I really like about it is the distance from where you hold to where the model is actually quite far. And for me, whenever I'm holding models, I'm trying to hold them by the base, right? And I'm painting, I'm doing your method, and I'm always getting the paint on my hands, or I'm smudging the paint that I just did. So the fact that the handle keeps your hand far enough away, you're not going to smudge. Even if you rest it so that it almost seems like the model's going to rest against your hand, it's hanging out in open air, so you're not going to smudge any of the work you just did, so you don't have to do touch-ups from it, which is great. The base is flat on it, so you can put it on the table, and you can stay there and dry. If you need to do an assembly method, it's really easy-ish to pop off because it's secure with the magnet, so that way you get it on, and like, I took it, and I was like, held it upside down, and I'm shaking the thing. I'm like, let's see if I can get this model come off of it. And it stayed. Like, I was really like, I was like, waving it around and trying to like air bash it, and it stayed.
You are very enamored by it, and that's great.
But like, then you take it off, so then you can just quickly pop it off and put another one on. The problem is, I'm not sure if it works with anything other than round bases. Mm-hmm. It looks like where it holds it, there's a depression. So it looks like that depression is for the circle. And then there's a little bit area next up that might be for square. I haven't tried square bases, so I don't quite know. And then it only goes up to 54 millimeter in size. So it's 54, it's 35, and it's 20. No, 38 and 25.
25, yeah. Nothing smaller?
No. So obviously, for like your Kings of War, it's useless.
Right.
But GW is not going to do anything smaller because they don't support smaller stuff.
It's not what they do anyway. Right.
Yet. I mean, word is Epic might be coming out, which has people excited.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, they're re-releasing all these specialist games that they killed, which makes me confused by them. But I've been confused by them for a long time. So I'm far from a GW fanboy, but I think they actually made it a really good product here. I think it fills a need that exists. I think the pricing is on mark. Even in the land down under where they get that Australia tax and like everything's like 4 million% more, it's $13 Australian. And like that's even affordable for people living in Australia. So I'm not quite sure what GW's game here is, but I'm sure they're going to try to pull one over on me somehow. And I forget what it is, but it's not in this because this is a good thing. And I want to buy another one.
I think they've pulled one over on you in making you buy it to begin with.
It's a good product.
But if you're happy with it, then I'm happy for you.
I recommend it. Almost made it into the holiday gift guide. I strongly recommend it.
That's what you're all listening to is this dribble. He's putting that in his holiday gift guide. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I mean, you know my feelings. I think that there's just home solutions, but you know you can
inferior ones. But like if you don't have
I don't find them to be inferior.
Well, of course they are. But if you don't have the money,
no, of course they're not.
Oh, come on now.
We don't have to get into this.
If people don't have the money or they don't want to support GW, both the reasons that I can fully support. I can understand why. Or if there was a better product out there.
I don't think that it gives you that much, frankly.
It's pretty good. And another strength would be for children, because kids have kind of clunky holding for things. They can hold on to this pretty well. So I'm not saying you should paint with your toddler.
You've convinced me that it's better than the solution that I have for no dollars.
Well, not no dollars.
Sorry. $7.
Per one. You buy many of them for whatever reason.
Yeah, but I'm going to get a new one every month anyway.
So. Oh, there you go.
Because I have really bad heartburn, guys. You all know that now.
Well, that's okay. I got asthma and acid reflux, so there we go.
Yeah, you know, it's an acid reflux.
I know right? What all about that.
But even if you were to use Tylenol or something. I don't know. To me, it's always just been like little drop of glue, top of the pill bottle, boom, done.
See, a lot of people like to use the paint things, and so they'll just put them on top of the paint when they're done.
Yeah,
and
right.
But again, then you got to use the blue tack, or you got to use glue, and then you got to pry it off, and it's a pain.
Okay.
It's more steps than I think.
I believe you.
People need to take.
I believe you.
I fully support GW's painting handle.
Great.
Although it has a really dumb name, despite being very descriptive.
What's the name?
Painting handle.
Well, what did you want it to be? Super awesome.
Well, they name everything something crazy.
Yeah,
and proprietary, like they'll spell it weird, and they come up with a different name so they can trademark it, they can copyright it.
Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar.
Not to them, it ain't. To them, it's the 4,000 point whatever for.
Yeah, right.
And it's going to cost you $255.
Well, not this.
No, and they confuse me. I like it, but they confuse me.
For the best, they confuse you for the better. This time.
This is a good thing. It's a very good piece. So that's interesting. I have something that's not gaming, but it pertains to the show. So I'm just going to shove it in here because I don't know where else to put it. So
shove it.
We were going to do, not you, but I was going to do an episode, this episode actually, with Mike Payne. We were going to record and we were going to do a segment called Convention Corner. It's going to be this new thing that we were going to do where whomever would get a chance to talk about conventions. Other than a couple of the big conventions like Huzzah and TotalCon, we were trying to move away from devoting an entire episode to a convention or a game day, just because listeners have chimed in and said that, you know, like if you're not in the area, you're not as interested, which I can understand. I always thought like it was a way to kind of take a vacation without going anywhere. Like you can listen and feel like you're there, but I completely get it. And like, why are you going to want to listen to that? So wanted to provide value to everyone. So instead of just cutting that off completely and say, we're never going to cover all these other conventions, which I think is not a smart move either. I'm going to kind of shrink it so that way get to the guts of what's really good or interesting about that convention so that people who were there who may have missed it can experience it, and then the conventions can maybe get a little boost and kind of help with the hobby and everything. So win-win, but reduce it to like a segment on the show. And went to go and do the recording and found out we could not, because we normally record through YouTube Live, so that way we get the video and then people can see the stream, and then we take the audio later on and put it up. The reason why we couldn't is because YouTube had implemented a community strike on our account, which forbids us from live streaming for 90 days. 87 days, actually, or 86 by this counting. And the reason we got the strike is we're doing a lot of video content, and one piece of video content was a video review that I was working on for a piece of equipment. that would allow us to record videos and actual play content and stuff using my smartphone or anyone's smartphone, really. And I put that up, but part of it was taking actual footage using this lens, this wide-angle lens. So YouTube said that the 23-second video showing the actual footage of the what it's like to use a wide-angle lens, which was going to be taken and put into a larger review and then deleted from YouTube, that I counted as spam. And as such, we were getting a strike for violating community guidelines for this 23-second video.
Wow.
And the strike lasted 90 days. We could appeal, which I did. They're not going to overturn it, but they're wrong, but they should, and they won't. And as such, we can't live stream. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, okay, let's go. And I'm sitting, I'm like, okay, I'm going to get it going. And I go, and I go to the space on YouTube where we set up the streams and everything. And I look, and it says in yellow, you cannot do because you have community. And I was like, what the heck are they? Well, those aren't the words I use. But I was like, what the heck are they talking about? And as such, we couldn't do the recording. So I was very disappointed in that. And we've managed to find some workarounds and things that we can do so that we stay true to what they want us to be doing, but also allow us to.
Did they state what actually was spammy?
No. They quoted, literally copy-pasted from a section of what their rules were. And it was just like, this is the whole rules on spam. And it was this whole block of text. And that's what they sent.
Have they seen you cuddling with your cigar box?
All those bad.
Matt? I mean,
I don't think
that's
they
borderline pornographic. So
I was surprised and outraged, and
okay, well,
that was very disappointing to me. But we're able to resume. And the thing that really frustrated me wasn't about losing the recorder with Mike, because I think we can get that back some other time. But it was like 90 days. It didn't seem like a lot. I was like, oh, this time of year is okay because we're winding down. 90 days goes into February 26th of 2018.
Yeah, that's a long time.
So that's our 200th episode. We have an interview with Stefan Pokorny of Dwarf and Forge in the beginning of the year. February is also when we do TotalCon and like all this kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, how's this going to impact?
Can you record it on Google and then post it later?
No. So they won't even allow access to the Hangout stuff at all. So it's not even a case of like going to it and then not streaming, but just capture it. They won't.
Bummer.
So we have ways that we can get things done, but it's going to be a little interesting for a while we work that out. But I was so angry.
And I have to set up our burner account.
It's weird. They'll let you create multiple channels which don't have strikes on them, and you could use those, but you can't use the one that they put a strike on.
Oh, wow, weird.
Very, very odd.
So literally burner account.
Yeah, but like YouTube, what gives? And do you know who we are?
Yeah, I mean, really.
We are not in the business of spamming, and we resent you saying otherwise and think you owe us an apology. You will never give it, but
you know, we could offer them a nice painting handle.
We could. Yeah. I could buy another one for them as a present.
It would be nice of you.
Or I could tell them that you will buy it for them as a present.
Not. I'll give them a full bottle.
Which ones do you want? Oh, so that's been what I've been up to lately, and preparing the show.
Yeah, well, you know, always preparing the show. That's like a full-time job.
It is a full-time job. And I'm pretty excited about this year that we've had, because we've had a lot of interesting things go on here. We're going to be recording in our gaming. And
sure.
I think for you, maybe a highlight would be Kings of War.
Coming on the episode once.
Is that too? Actually getting into a different scale, I think has to be pretty scary but interesting for you and exciting, no?
Yeah, getting into 15mm, I am really, really loving it. I really think that it's going to be my ultimate scale that I wind up doing. I can churn things out so much quicker.
Yeah.
And you know, I do miss doing some of the detail stuff, but I don't miss it that much, I guess.
No, I wouldn't.
I've been okay without it. So yeah, it's been great. I mean, I really, really, really like painting it, and it's a whole new way of gaming, really, for me. So it's pretty cool.
That is pretty neat. I've had a highlight of. This is going to sound so selfish and conceited, but I've had a highlight of all the products that have been sent to us for review.
Yeah.
Not in that, like, they sent us, but how amazing these things are that all these creative people are working on.
Yeah, no, totally.
And there's been such a gamut of it.
Right.
It covers almost anything you can imagine, everything from Crescent Root and Skybox Battle and Dwarven Forge and Things from the Basement recently sent stuff. And everything is so beautifully done. There's a lot of talented people out there.
Yeah, it's first of all, it's really an honor to see this stuff. And, you know, the artistry with each and every one of these pieces that you've gotten, it's incredible. It's really, really neat.
What I like is, even if they're creating something that there are other similar products in the marketplace, they found something that is lacking, each of them. Mm-hmm. And they've been able to hone in on that.
Their own spin on it.
Yeah, and they've made it better. They've even improved on what other people are doing.
Yep.
And just expand. So like Skybox Battle, we've talked about them a lot, right? But their mats, it's so simple in what they're doing, but it's so beautifully executed, so that the mats, not only are they there for you to have a playing surface, you could get a fat mat for that or whatever, any of those must bad things, but they've taken it a step further because it's actually made out of really high quality fabric that you are able to get draping, you are able to do terrain underneath so that the mat comes alive. It's not just this stagnant piece of stuff. Like, fat mats are nice because you can just kind of wipe up any spills or whatever.
Yeah, those are great, too.
But, like, they just lie there. They're like a piece of dead fish. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they stink, but, like, they're there, right? Skybox Battle Mats, I feel they really come to life. You don't need a whole lot of stuff. You don't need fancy terrain. You literally can just throw that on a table.
Right.
And you can put a balled-up T-shirt or whatever underneath, and it comes to life.
Right. Yeah, and getting to the back to the larger point of what you're talking about, it's really, like, it opens your eyes when you start to see all these things. To what an artisan community wargaming in general is. The people that make stuff, the people that play, everybody has a real artistic side to them and have some amazing, I mean, some people have just unbelievable talent.
They do.
With the stuff. And that's what I love seeing the most is just people that maybe they're creating a small business out of it or maybe it's become a pretty successful one. But I mean, man, it's really just each person is just an amazing artist. And that's the thing that blows me away every time you open something up or you see something new. It's just really, really cool.
Well, and a lot of them are like one-person shops, too, which
exactly.
I don't understand how they do it. And if they're lucky, they're able to do it part-time. But most of them, they have full-time jobs,
yep.
and they're still doing this.
Yep.
And I don't quite understand how they're able to balance that.
Yep.
But they are, and they do it really well.
Yeah, I mean, it's just incredible. I mean, even some of the model makers that I'm seeing, especially I'm paying a lot of attention these days to the 15mm fantasy. But again, it's just there. A lot of the times, it's one, two, three guys putting it all together, and it's just incredible. I mean,
it is.
Pat on the back for the entire community out there.
They are very talented, no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've also had a really good mix, too, this year of content so that it's not all just, say, like one person talking or just all reviews. Like, we've had guests on. We've done product reviews. Not as much product reviews as I would like, but we've had that. Convention coverage and just kind of this medley that I feel like the proportions come together so that there's something for everyone in almost every episode.
Sure.
I don't feel like there's a lot of dead weight, which is a nice thing.
Except for me.
Well, yeah. You know. I didn't want to point out the elephant in the room, but...
I'm recording because no one else was available today.
Well, I didn't want to say that everyone else was like, we're busy. We're not going to come on the show.
No, I think it's fun. It's always fun to listen to. It's always fun to be on. I do think, you know, we try to find things that are interesting for everybody and within episode to episode and within the same episode. Try to be funny. Sometimes that works. Sometimes it doesn't.
Usually it works when I'm not involved. And then we're very, very funny. I've been able to discover like things that I would never have otherwise discovered. So you opened my eyes to Splintered Light.
Yep.
Very affordable option for people who want 18mm scale gaming.
Yep. 15 to 18, yep.
It's 18.
It's 18, okay.
It's 18. They say 15/18, but really it's 18. Should we call it like 17.5?
How about we call it 15 and a half?
16 3/4 it is.
Your ruler is a little different.
Well, it came in model box.
Yeah, that's true. By the way, that ruler is really cool. It's one of those oddly shaped ones that's 6 inches on one side, 4 inches on another,
mm-hmm.
and then it sort of like fills in the gaps on the you know, the thinner sides with like a 1 inch and a 2 inch. I love those rulers. Those things are really useful.
They can definitely come in handy. And see, you guys could have got one if you subscribed to Modelbox, because we had a 10% off coupon. We still do, actually, I think. I don't remember what the code is. Your model box? No, that's not right. It'll be in the show notes, because we'll find it out later and put it in.
You're a source of misinformation.
I really am. I'm like, here's this awesome thing. No, the source of misinformation is Mike Payne. Mike, I'm sorry, buddy. When we did the holiday gift guide, and he's like, this is really awesome thing I want to include in the list. And like on air, I'm like, okay, so what is it? I don't know the name. Well, where is it? I'm not sure. What does it look like? I don't know. But I think he remembered it was like from Things from the Basement, but he couldn't remember what it was. He was like, it's a house, I think. And I was like, okay, they have a lot of houses. What does it look like?
It might be something from his own basement.
It was really funny. I mean, it's hard though, because when you think of something that's in your brain, you get put on the spot, and you're like, oh yeah, that thing. Like, what do I do?
Right.
So you try to... But that was my...
That's why I just try to agree a lot.
Yeah.
Shake my head.
You're like, mm-hmm, that sounds good.
No, that sounds like a great idea.
I've been listening to a lot of David Sedaris lately.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if people are familiar, but...
Yeah, I just agree.
Yeah, there you go. So he did this whole series of essays about moving to France and trying to learn the language, and how, like, he only knew, like, two words, and they were completely not useful. Like, the first one was bottleneck, so people would be like, hi, how are you? And of course, they'd say in French, and he wouldn't know, he'd be like, bottleneck, 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 bottleneck.
That's funny. Interestingly, and completely off topic, I work with
a bottleneck.
I do work with some bottlenecks, but I work with a couple of guys who moved here from Russia.
Oh, okay.
And when they moved here individually,
mm-hmm.
They have a common thread that they didn't speak English. You know, they didn't know each other at the time, obviously. And one told me that he learned his English from Seinfeld.
Oh, okay.
And the other told me he learned his English from Def Comedy Jam. So I thought that was very interesting. If you don't know those, give them a wiki. I think they're pretty much like, well, everyone knows Seinfeld. If you don't know Def Comedy Jam, that's probably 1990s. I think it makes for some funny story when learning the English language. Anyway.
One of the people who worked for my wife, because we're talking about people who work for people, she learned English by watching Dora the Explorer.
Oh, wow.
Which is quite interesting.
Yes, because that teaches you Spanish.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah. It is bilingual in many ways.
It is.
I think 2018 is going to be a pretty exciting season, though, too, for the show. I
hope so.
We get a lot of interesting things, which I haven't revealed. But
what you're going to do now?
Well, I'm going to tease them now.
Sweet.
Because if I tell everyone now, then they're not going to listen when we go on break.
Oh, break.
Break.
We don't need no break.
Because if people are... Well, you can do the episodes. I take a break.
Well...
If people are new... They're not going to know that we shut down basically from the middle of December through the middle of January because there's Christmas and...
Someone's birthday's coming up.
Yeah, basically because of my birthday. It's really what it is.
It is, honestly.
I celebrate the whole winter season because I'm
December
a winter baby.
December 22nd. Yes.
I am. I'm a Christmas baby.
Yep.
And so I take over December. All of winter, really, is my joyful time. And so I take that time and I shut down the show.
Joyful as the winter chill.
It, which is wonderful. It's... Brisk.
Yeah.
Bracing.
Chilly.
Invigorating.
Yep.
Because you're not going to stay out there long, are you? And then we come up with two best of episodes, which you can help pick, Alex, because
sweet.
Usually I'm the one who's like, which episode did I really like? So you will help pick. And so they come out one in December, one in January, and then we come back with new content in the middle of January and do that. But then we also use the time to kind of help get guests come on, all that kind of stuff. So we're working on
the backstage,
getting everyone set up for 2018. Stefan Perconi's coming on, as I said.
Mm-hmm.
We got a really cool thing set up for the 200th episode. It's going to be different than anything we've ever done.
I've heard a little bit about it.
Are you excited?
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm also choking.
What we're going to be doing has some involved, a little nervous. Not me. I'm fully excited and going to go about it. There's a little bit of nerves, which is understandable, but it's going to be great. It's going to work out. It's going to be huge.
I'm nervous.
You should be nervous.
I am. Because I don't remember what is happening.
We get this really cool episode, which you need to come and be involved with, Alex. When we go to TotalCon, Adrian and I, We're doing a joint episode with the Mythwits.
Oh, wow.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. We will have them and us, and we're expecting an unknown industry guest. So we really don't know who. We're thinking it might be like a Tim Kask, or it might be, I don't know. It could be anyone, really.
You need like a,
they get a lot of
wrestling
people.
Announcer for when they come out. And like, oh my God!
Enter the center ring, jumping off the top rope. I have no idea who's going to be. I think it's going to be a case of, I'm letting Pete from the Mythwits just kind of wrangle it. Aiden and I just have to show up. You will just because you're coming.
I'm coming.
You are coming. We just got to show up. We don't have to bring any equipment or anything. They got it all taken care of. It's what I love.
That's good.
Yeah, it's great. Because they get better equipment because they make more money than anyone I know.
So. Wow. Why don't you just complain a little bit more?
So, no, it's wonderful. We're going to use really good gear.
Sweet. Yep.
So it should be a lot of fun. Last year was a lot of fun. We recorded in the room an episode, and one of the co-hosts, Mike Hafez, he was an audio engineer. He was great because he's sitting there while Adrian and I are doing a thing, and Mr. Deadpan, yeah. He's just like letting the zingers come out. And so people might not realize when Adrian has a few in him, he doesn't get loud or anything. He's more deadpan, but his zingers are more biting.
The alcohol mellows him out.
I mean, he's mellow to begin with.
No, he mellows him out.
But so like it was really, really funny. And so Mike is there and he's laughing and laughing, but he's trying to muffle it. So he's doing all like, and so he's trying to get it not be in the audio. And just, it was gold. Although people complained about that episode, but whatever. I thought it was a great episode.
It's a different kind of gold, I guess.
The complaint was we talked too much about the hotel, but there were problems with the hotel.
Oh, yes.
So people should know. We won't talk about the hotel as much in 2018, I promise.
Could have a special hotel episode.
Could we do that?
A hotel review episode.
Just go and
for bonus content.
We'll bounce quarters on the beds and say like how fluffy they are.
And yeah, right.
For the gaming podcast.
They have Yelp. You can do that.
Yeah, you could. Do you think they'd be upset if I brought Cigar Box battle mats and just replaced all the sheets with them?
No, they wouldn't be upset at all. They would love that.
And then made them launder it to my specifications and then give them back to me?
To your specifications.
And then give them back?
Yes.
That might be a bit much. No, but it's going to be a lot of stuff. We've got some conventions we're going to be going to.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be doing more shows.
Hope so.
You're going to be doing more shows.
We'll be doing more shows.
You will be doing more shows.
That's what I've been told.
Yes. And so that's happening. Time to kind of wind down.
Yeah,
this time of year. Before we do, we should go to what I'm not allowed to call my favorite segment, although it's my favorite segment of the show. Mm. Mailbag. So we have a little bit of listener feedback about episode 197, the Holiday Gift Guide 2017. Listener Jack said, quote, just finished listening. Cool episode. Did Alex not do a list? Enjoyable repartee between the host and Mr. quote, fly casual, unquote, Mike Payne, and, quote, the straight man, unquote, Adrian Benson. So thank you very much, Jack, for your feedback. And, well, Alex, why don't you respond to it?
Listen, man.
Because you're called out by name there, buddy.
I was called out by name, and I answered the bell. I did end up post-recording, putting out my, I was guilted.
Not by me.
Nope. You don't have any effect on guilting me, but when other people ask for things, I do feel bad. And I really felt bad. I didn't deliver on my Christmas list, so I posted one in the Wargaming Recon fan club. Is that we're still calling that?
You used the name that you don't like.
Yes, are we still calling it that? I'm going to ask that every time. So I did post that there. It is superhero themed. It's a project that I'm thinking about. Not ready to act on, but I would love to, you know, get some, you know, and it's funny because I don't know why I make things hard on myself.
You do.
The 15 millimeter superheroes are few and far between. There's plenty of 28 millimeter ones,
mm-hmm.
But I want to do it in 15, so I'll take the 7 that exist.
Well, I give you credit, though, because you've gone the extra mile. Not only did you create the list and you shared it and everything, but you're recording today in spandex, so that's quite amazing.
That is true.
It's like 30 degrees out,
you
but
know,
yeah.
I wish that we could show the video.
Where's the cape? I mean,
oh, it's underneath.
Is it like the Mr. Invincible? No capes.
Yeah, I wear a cowl.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, I'm more of a cowl kind of guy. but you gotta have some spandex. You know?
I suppose so. Who doesn't want to wear their underwear on the outside of the clothes?
Well, you know, who doesn't love a good like comic book bank robbery? You know, superhero busting in, you know, villains popping into the bank, knocking the bad guy out, getting all the money back and all that good stuff. So I don't know. I thought it would be fun to get some older railroad, like 19, a lot of those things wind up looking like anywhere from the 20s to the 50s sort of style. For that really like older Superman feeling, that older Gotham City sort of look.
Do you know what you got to do?
What do I got
to
do?
So you have to come to Huzzah, because up at Huzzah there's routinely a superhero game that's played that's beautifully done. They use this really affordable terrain that just, you don't have to paint or do anything with it. You just, it's like that, not fiberboard, but it's almost, it's like plastic hard, I guess.
Is that click, the stuff that clicks together?
No, it's not hero. No, I mean, it's almost like jigsaw puzzle where like you just do a side and kind of, but it looks really good. It's like this open world sort of, and I can't think of the name. I think Chris Rett is the one who GMs
it. That's really cool.
But, and he does it at the Hobby Bunker Game Day too, actually, yeah. I think, sometimes.
That's really cool.
But you need to go up to Maine, to Huzzah, huzzah.com, and that's not it, it's huzzahcon.com. I should know because I do that.
Try it.
Yeah, one of these days I'll get right. And but you should go, you should see it and get some ideas and find out what they use. Do you know what is actually really useful? Not for your scale, because you're crazy, but in the standard superhero scale that people use, Matchbox cars are great.
Yeah, ideas. That's what I hear, actually. So I don't know. Maybe I'm not married to 15 millimeter. I think in the end I probably would be. I understand that the railroad scale stuff really works well with 15 millimeter. And it's less about...
Storage is good, too. Price.
Storage, sure, price point. I can make the superheroes work. I'm not too worried about that.
Yeah.
There's always something.
There is something.
You can always throw some fantasy guys in there and other sci-fi guys and 15 millimeter, sort of fill the gaps.
Do you know what the moral of the story is?
Do everything in 15 millimeter?
I suppose that's a moral. But the moral of this story really is that listeners have all sorts of power over us. Well, you in particular, but...
Yes. If you guilt me... I'll do stuff, apparently.
If you build it, he will.
Yeah, so, you know, with great power comes great responsibility.
Well, but you didn't have a good excuse for not doing the list, but you had a good excuse for not doing the episode.
Yeah, I agree.
You were doing, I think it's the greatest, you were doing dad stuff, which is very, very important.
No, I agree. I definitely couldn't do the show, but I didn't really think that a list would be needed if I wasn't there.
No, which is understandable, and wouldn't have been a problem. Not that it's a problem.
Had I not been called out.
Well, you were the only one who didn't do a list. And I think that's why it was noticeable. Because in the past, it hasn't been everyone.
Right.
It's just been some people who... But this year, the stars aligned. It was the age of Aquarius.
Yep.
And everyone except you submitted a list.
Okay, well,
people who weren't on the show weren't on the episode.
Listen, it's bonus content. So if you haven't joined the fan club...
You should.
You should, and then you can see my list.
You should... Sounds so wrong in so many ways. It's a family-friendly show here, my friend.
It's a list.
It didn't sound like you were talking about a list.
It was weird.
You are just... It's that time of night, my friends. Speaking of moving on, we have some announcements. You mentioned the Facebook group, Fan Club.
Yeah.
People should check it out.
You could see my list.
You could see his list.
Which is a totally clean thing to see.
Just the way you delivered it. It just sounds wrong. As I tell my wife... Deep inside, I'm still a 13-year-old boy.
Yeah, that is a problem you have.
It is such a large problem that I have. And we get the Facebook group, which is good. We have some stuff coming up. We're going to be doing some exclusive stuff for the Facebook group, I think, at some point. I don't know what the stuff is going to be, but...
My Christmas list.
Well, besides that. You know, something...
I don't think we could top that.
Well, I was thinking maybe we could do more footage with the painting candle.
Oh, great.
We can have, like, a whole painting candle extravaganza.
Yep.
That'll really get the people coming in. We have we actually have some big changes coming up. We kind of teased it a little bit. So we are changing the format in that we're not doing as much with conventions. We're still going to have our big two. We're going to have the Huzzah Con, and we're also going to have Total Con. Those are our big two that we really go all out with, and we do stuff there, and we do recordings. So those are still going to be a thing. Have that. We're still going to be covering other conventions and game days. We'll have our convention corner, so we'll be doing that instead of a whole episode. We're going to be expanding more about what kind of gaming we're doing, so it's a little more conversational, a little less structured. And then also, we're changing up how we're handling some of our extra content. We mentioned about using smartphones and things for a little more, bit more video content. Some stuff might not actually get reviewed on the audio, might be pushed over to video. So I'm not going to try to exclude anyone. Even if we just do video only, we'll still talk about it on the podcast, but it won't be in as much depth. Kind of like Wargame Soldiers and Strategy. They only have so much space to print, right? So they'll do an article and they'll be like, there's so much more. We had all these pictures and stuff. So you get to go online and get. So
sure.
For us, the go online will be, we have the video, which has the full stuff, and we kind of tease it in the audio. So that way everyone still kind of gets stuff. And if you want the full, more involved, you get on the other. Plus with video, we can show more. It's kind of hard to be so descriptive with just audio with some things. If you're talking about a product, I mean, even like 0.4 millimeters from the top, it has this.
Right, right.
You know, with the painting handle, it's this tall. I say this tall, that means nothing to you because you don't see what I'm doing.
That's true. I will. There'll be also videos of pill boxes.
There will be videos of pill boxes.
Pill bottles, sorry.
Your pill bottle reviews. Yep. And we are also changing up how we handle our rewards for those of you who are members of Wargaming Recon Army.
Oh, and this is cool.
So this month, because you guys are listening in December, this is the last episode of 2017, is the last month for the current reward levels. So all these changes are coming in for 2018. And basically what it is it's difficult for me to get out physical rewards every month. Just, it's hard. And also I want to make it better so that you get a greater variety, more interesting stuff. And that means doing more of a model box kind of setup where every 6 months that you back at the loot crate, the model box, the geek fuel level, whatever you want to call it, after 6 months of backing at that level, you'll receive this package. It'll have a variety of the physical rewards that you can already get now, dice and whatever, and all the kind of bumper stickers, postcard, and so forth. There'll be surprise things that get added in, just stuff that we happen to have that might be cool and neat. Manufacturers send us stuff and things. So, like, for example, ages and ages and ages, many years ago, we got some gaming CDs that have music that were for use with different role-playing games that were sent by composer for it. And so I still have some of those. Like, those will show up at some time. We've got buttons. We got all sorts of different things. No guarantee what's going to be in them. There's a chance that no two boxes will be alike. We won't be able to duplicate them necessarily, but the core stuff will be the same, but extra stuff will be whatever. And the interesting thing for me is, because those of you who support the show in this way and are members of that community, I've gotten to know a lot of you, and so I'm going to try to tailor things to what I think might be of interest to you.
Oh, wow.
So as the numbers grow, obviously I won't be able to keep that up, but that's a hope. And so it'll be less frequently. We also have the thing where basically you get to hijack a show. You get to pick an episode. Mm-hmm. You can be a producer. You choose what order we're going to do, what the topic will be. So if you don't like that we do mailbag, we're not going to do a mailbag. We'll just cut it out for that episode.
I don't think that you'd be okay with that.
Well, I'll cry in my sleep.
You will cry more than just your sleep.
I'll be like, oh man, I really love mailbag.
I want to know what's going to be in my box.
Well, you got to back at the appropriate level and then you'll find out. Damn. I'll get you those 15mm superheroes.
Oh, well, all right.
There you go. So we get that kind of stuff. Another level, which is really great. You can back at that level and then recommend a game or a product that you really want us to do. Please make it something that's easily accessible. If we have to go to like Kazakhstan to get it, probably not going to do it. But if it's easily accessible, it's a game, whatever you really wish we would cover, back at that level, you tell us what it is. We'll get the game. We'll get the product. Yeah. We'll play it, use it, whatever. We'll review it and then put it in an episode. And so we're getting rid of some of the other stuff, but we're doing those. There's another level called Radio Man where we'll follow you on social media. There's a lot of great people out there with a lot of social media accounts. It's hard for us to know all of them and follow them. So it's just kind of a neat way to connect in that way.
I love it.
So, yeah, we get the new stuff coming that begins January 2018. And you can become a member of the Wargaming Recon Army for as little as $1 per month. So I want to thank members Patrick, Kyle from Vermont, and everyone else who supports the show in the many ways you do. You don't have to spend money to support the show. You can just listen. You can tell friends about us. You can say hi.
Write a review.
You could write a review and rate us on iTunes or on Stitcher or however you listen to us. We are, I think, we're everywhere you can listen to a podcast. We got recently added to TuneIn. We're working to be in Spotify.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
We're not in yet, but that's in process. So we're just, because they just kind of opened up to, they pick some people. Like, you have to have, like, be a millionaire, but they're kind of opening up it a little bit more. So we're working.
Good thing you're a millionaire.
Well, you know it. iHeartRadio, you get rich doing podcasts. So we're doing all that kind of stuff. So you can check that out and support us on Patreon, wargamingrecon.com/Patreon. What we use, and we just call it the Wargaming Recon Army. And I want to remind you to please check out our sponsors and thank them. So thank you all for listening. Thank you, Alex, for being on the show.
Thank you.
This is a good way to end the year. So don't forget those show notes, wargamingrecon.com/WR198 will get you there. And the next new episode begins on January 15th, 2018. That's episode 199, but we'll have two best of episodes in between. So hope everyone has a wonderful year.
Oof, 199, then 200.
There we go. It's a big one. Well, you guys know the drill. No matter what's going on in your lives, no matter how busy you are, no matter how much time you're spending loving your painting handle and knowing that you can't get enough usage out of it because it's so wonderful, you know that you have to, you gotta, you need to keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon on your mobile device. Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the TSR Podcast Network. Visit wargamingrecon.com/TSRPN for more information and to learn about the other good shows on the network. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Wargaming Recon is dedicated to the memory of longtime listener Andrew. I ask all listeners to join me in a moment of silence in memory of Andrew. Wargaming Recon is made possible by listeners like you. Become a Patreon backer to get behind-the-scenes content and new episodes before everyone else, starting at $1 per month. Visit wargamingrecon.com/Patreon to become a Patreon backer. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by Enfilade. Enfilade is a flagship historical wargaming convention for the Northwest Historical Miniature Gaming Society. Enfilade is held annually over Memorial Day weekend at the Red Lion Inn in Olympia, Washington. Enjoy the largest historical miniature gaming convention west of the Mississippi at Enfilade. Visit www.nhmgscitadel.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 18th through the 20th, 2018 at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.